the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today in the Orthodox Church, we read from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, in which he is exhorting the Romans toward a proper ministry of the Church. It is perhaps one of the best and most succinct, straightforward, and helpful passages on living a proper Christian life within the context of the Church, especially within the context of parish life. It's a wonderful little passage, but we need to start from the beginning of chapter 12 of Romans to give the passage its entire context. So beginning with verse 1 in chapter 12 of Romans, St. Paul gives the following exhortation. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's an interesting sentence. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, as a holy sacrifice, one acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. So a first takeaway can be that our bodies are to be a living sacrifice or offering to God. Our bodies are supposed to be a holy sacrifice, which means that we are to be set apart, made sacred, or as St. Paul says, not conformed to this world, and that it is supposed to be acceptable to God, which goes without saying, right? And finally, St. Paul says that it is to be our reasonable service. And this phrase is also very interesting, reasonable service, because it doesn't really seem to mean a whole lot on the surface. What does reasonable service mean? It seems very vague. Our service, whatever that means, is supposed to be reasonable. But when you get behind the text, it's a very loaded term, something that you'll notice with many vague Hebrew or Greek terms, is that what they mean in English might be a little different, or they have a world of meaning behind them in the Greek or Hebrew. And this term in particular, reasonable service, is no exception. Reasonable service in the Greek is logikin latrian, logikin becoming reasonable in English, and latrian becoming service. And when you pair this with the rest of the passage, it makes a lot more sense. We are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, and this is our reasonable service. Or translated differently, this is our logical worship, or worship in accordance with the Logos. How is this form of latria, or worship, or service logical? Well, it's logical insofar as that it conforms to the Logos, to Christ himself, the Word, right? Logos just means Word of God. So we get an answer to a question we didn't even know was there in the text. What kind of worship conforms to the will of God, to the Word of God? What kind of worship is pleasing to God? And St. Paul gives us the answer. The worship that is pleasing to God is one in which our bodies are presented as a living sacrifice, one in which we are transformed by the renewal of our minds in repentance, not being conformed to this world, as St. Paul tells us. So it is a total reliance and obedience on God, but it's just not supposed to be the drudgery of obedience that we always hear when we hear the word obedience. And Father Jeremy, who was the former pastor of this church, talks about this in his new book. So this is a little plug for his new book, but he has a very good thing to say about it. Sacrifice is just as much about friendship with God and his presence in our lives as it is about our own denial of ourselves. The denial only works so much as we are filled up with something else, right? God himself. So as Father Jeremy says, obedience then is an expression of love. It's not merely an exercise in rule-keeping, but rather an attentiveness to God's guidance and counsel. And St. Paul goes on to elaborate on this sacrificial act that we perform ourselves, our living sacrifice to God, while one in the same is also manifold. The way in which we obey God, of course, by doing his commandments is singular, but also by doing our will in his will in our lives, it will look a bit different for each of us. Look around this church or at the lives of the saints. Christians aren't just carbon copies of one another. And St. Paul understood this. Brethren, he tells us today, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who contributes in his liberality, he who gives aid with zeal, he who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness, Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit and serve the Lord. So in a manifold way, St. Paul shows us how to render service unto the Lord. Proper worship, how to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. And what are living sacrifices but those which attract the life of God, His grace in our lives? There is such a thing as a dead sacrifice, a sacrifice that might cross all the T's and dot all the I's externally, but is inside dead. This happened to Israel when they sacrificed to Yahweh and yet went about after foreign gods, right? When they sacrificed with their words and external actions and yet internally were full of hypocrisy and bad intentions. A sacrifice acceptable unto God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite or humble heart God will not despise. The prophet David tells us in Psalm 50, "Then shalt thou be pleased with a sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." So you see how David even reorients, makes right the sacrificial system of Israel. Acquire humility and contrition first, then do the rites associated with the sacrificial system of Israel correctly. The same is true for us. Do what is in accordance with the grace that God has given us. If we are to serve, serve well. If we're going to teach, teach rightly. If we're going to exhort, exhort well. If we're going to contribute resources, contribute, do so without pretense. If we're going to give aid zealously. If you do acts of mercy or charity, do so cheerfully. Doing these things by themselves, giving with a grumbling heart, teaching hypocritically, contributing with pretense is a dead sacrifice. It does not lead to life because they do not lead to God. May we know ourselves. May we know not just what we are called to do, but more importantly, first off, how to do it. It is better to give a little out of humility than a lot out of vanity or insincerity. It's much better to pray or sing or preach even simply than be puffed up in vanity over what comes out of our mouths. This isn't to say that what we do should be done poorly. No, not at all. But what it does mean is that our foundations must be properly oriented. It's much easier to teach someone how to sing or pray or serve or give than it is to teach someone how to not be vain or prideful. Someone who serves or gives with the fear of God is much more open to growth and improvement than one who serves or gives in their own pride. That's why the church had to start off the way it did, right? Afflicted, in chains, humiliated in the eyes of the world. This is the foundation that is proper for a good Christian life. And good sacrifice to be made. Any other foundation is a dead sacrifice. So that's all that really can be said on this. We are priests, all of us, insofar as that we are the only ones who can offer ourselves as living sacrifices to God. That's from St. Gregory of Nyssa. No one else can do this work for us. This is our reasonable service to God, our worship, which is in accordance with the Word, with Christ Himself, the Logos, right? Right? And if it is in accordance with God, it is a reasonable worship because it is patterned after Christ Himself, to whom is due all glory, honor, and worship, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.